testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey. Rejoicing the heart, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey.
Today for fellowship in his presence. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who has come to lead and guide and teach us and to bring us back eventually home with you. Father, give us ears and hearts to hear, for we know that faith comes by hearing the word of God. And we can only please you when we have that simple, childlike faith. But may we also apply that wisdom and knowledge and understanding, that we may learn more and more the mysteries that are to be found in Jesus Christ. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, I have a title today that we're going to discuss and look at. And the title is, There is Authority in Knowing the Truth. There is authority in knowing the truth. And I want to base our teaching today from the book of James, chapter 4. And I want to look primarily at verse 8. James chapter 4. And verse 8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And then it goes on, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Lament, mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. I think those four verses are really very applicable to the 21st century church. And I think so much of we know that sadly goes on in a lot of these churches, they resist such teaching like this. But you see, we need to understand deeper what it is saying there to us. It's certainly not saying that we go round with a long, sullen face all day long, miserable and lamenting and so on. It's not talking about that. It's actually acknowledging the state that we find ourselves in. the state of the world, our surroundings, our country. A lot who profess themselves as believers but are not. It goes a lot deeper when you begin to study and look what is really being said. But I want us just to really look at verse 8, which says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you, because that is the key. That is the understanding of what is being said there. Now, every true born-again, spirit-filled believer wants to draw closer to Almighty God. That should be the spiritual appetite that is set within our hearts. There should be that desire to draw closer to God. And that is healthy. That is good. But there's no point drawing closer to God unless you experience him, unless you know him, unless he's revealed to you, unless he's touching your life, your mind, your heart, your very being. There's no point in drawing near to God otherwise, because you're simply drawing near to just religion, just some fantasy, some fairy tale. God through Jesus Christ is to be experienced. Your lives are never the same when he touches you, when he changes you. You are not a different person. Your life, your walk, your outlook, your attitude, everything about you is radically changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is why people walk in darkness until God in his mercy touches their lives. And then your mind and heart is open to the truth. And that is what we're calling here today. There is authority in knowing the truth. Jesus said, if you know the truth, then the truth will set you free. The world walks in darkness, believing that they know the truth. But they aimlessly walk around in darkness. But not only that, God opens your eyes to the Word of God, to the Bible. This is why so many labor trying to understand the Scriptures and cannot, because it is revelation and it has to be revealed. And the only way it is revealed is when we humble ourselves and come before Almighty God, that we have sinned and fallen short of the standard of God. And God is there to receive us through the love of Jesus Christ, the greatest sacrifice, the greatest gift ever given to mankind. And praise God, he has moved in our hearts and we have responded. And we have received that gift through Jesus Christ. But we find that we still have to walk in this life, in this world. And every day when we wake, we find that there is a challenge. There is a day to live and to walk and to trust and obey God. And sometimes we get it right, and sometimes some days we get it wrong. But the love and grace and mercy of God never gives up on us. He's always there to encourage us, to help us on. So in this scripture here, which says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you, there is, sadly today, a lot of speculation as to what is truth. So many are declaring that they have truth or they know the truth. We have many voices in the world today, many in Christendom, many in religious circles. We have our politicians, we have our teachers, our professors, our tutors, all believing that they have the truth, they know the truth, and so on. But you see, truth has to be tested. Truth has to be brought out in the light. It has to be seen. It has to be tried. And that is why we can totally and utterly depend upon the Word of God and the authority of God's Word, because it is being proved, tried, and tested. And that is why the Word of God, which is the revelation of God revealed to man through Jesus Christ, the Logos, the Word has always been throughout eternity. God's Word has always been there in the realm of eternity. Its truth, its authority, its declaration, and nothing can change it. And when we draw near to God in sincerity and in humility, as it calls for when you read these verses here, so the truth of God's Word is made known to us. And that is our deliverance. That is our healing. There is nothing worse than being lost or in confusion or doubt, which so many are. They're all around us, and it's getting worse. This is why there is such mental problems. And medical science can't cope with the mental problems that are around the world now. It's becoming epidemic. Why is this? Because the darkness is getting worse. And yet as the darkness gets worse, so the light of God's Spirit shines in that darkness, because there is a remnant who will respond. But there are so many today who speculate that they have the truth and know the truth. The Antichrist will come with such a message. And sadly, God's ancient people, Israel, will receive him, will make covenant with him on the basis that they believe that what he will say is true. Because he's going to come like a religious leader. He's going to come as a great politician. He's going to come with all the answers that Israel sadly is looking for. But at the moment they're not looking to their true Messiah. They will embrace this false Messiah for a season, the Antichrist, believing that he comes with truth. But behind all of that, he's a liar, a thief, a murderer, deceitful. That is his nature. Now, no one can know the whole truth, only the Holy Spirit. And he is the one who has come to us to teach us and lead us and guide us. And so very often people in the world like to say, well, you say you know the truth and you believe the truth and everything. It's as though they're saying that you know all the truth. We don't know all the truth. We only know what is revealed to us. Jesus, in his earthly life, when he divested himself and took on human flesh, human form, he even said, I only know that which the Father reveals to me. And what he reveals is truth. And that is how we know the truth. It's as it's revealed to us. And it's very important that the Holy Spirit is ministering the truth, his word, to us. We believe that he's doing this today as we've come together to share in his presence. There are many ways in which the Holy Spirit reveals the truth of Almighty God to us, which is revelation. And our minds have to be illumined in which to understand that revelation. And when he reveals himself, when we study the word of God and pray over the word of God, we glean from the word that truth, the truth, which is our deliverance. When you are delivered by the truth of God's word, that encourages your faith. That deals with any fear or unbelief that could still be there. This is what gives us power and boldness to be able to walk daily by the truth that we receive. But James reveals to us how we can obtain that in those four verses, particularly in verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. There is that power of being lifted up, strengthened, encouraged. Our Lord needed that in his earthly flesh. Why, going to Calvary, he couldn't bear the weight of his cross. It was too much. There they call somebody to bear, to help, to lift it up, to lift him up. It's the same type of thing. Because we go through diverse experiences. We go through trials and tribulations. And sometimes it almost feels as though it overwhelms us. But the truth that we learn helps to lighten that burden. It's not easy walking each day as a Christian in this life, in this world. And any professing Christian that says, well, now I'm saved, it's nothing but a blessing, a joy, and I walk daily with the Lord in peace and prosperity and so forth, I have to really ask the question whether they've truly met with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because sadly, that's so much what you hear today. But it's not until those trials, those tests come, that sort out the men from the boys. Now, the Christian church, the contemporary church of today, that you and I are a member of, baptized into, the church is to present truth revealed in God's word. Why? Because it draws a person to Jesus Christ. And this is so much of where the church today is falling so short. You see, our message must cause people to decide whether they follow the Lord or not. The word of God is to challenge. It is to draw people to make a choice, a decision through the anointing. It should draw souls to act. Because without action, the person stays in the same state. And this is so sad, what is happening today in a lot of contemporary Christianity. It's become political. It likes to talk about the creation of God, likes to talk about God's handiwork. It'll talk about all of those things, but it'll never really address sin that separates man from God. And that we have to be made right, to have a right standing in the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't challenge today for people to humble themselves, to confess their sins before Almighty God. This is why the prophets were persecuted, sawn asunder, because they were challenging in their day Israel, the leaders, to humble themselves before God. We don't hear this so much today. And so, if Christian teaching is not bringing believers to Christ, then they're not going to make any decision, any choice, any action. And they simply go away, remaining in the same state. This is why I say, when we come together to share under the Lord's anointing and presence, you can never be the same. Every teaching must cause you and I to make a choice, a decision, whether I want to go on with the Lord, my hands set to the plow, pressing forward. We have to be challenged. We have to make those choices. And as we humble ourselves, as we keep abased in God's presence, we will make those right choices, because the truth is leading us into those right choices. It's a process. It's a going on. We can't receive everything in 2 minutes. Our life is a walk. We are saved, but the scriptures also show us that we are being saved. We are being brought out from. And it's a daily walk. A daily overcoming. Making choices. And sometimes we make the wrong choices. But we have the Holy Spirit, who in time is going to reveal the truth. And we, all of us, are experiencing our eyes being opened. Wow, I see it now. I've been all these years walking with God, and suddenly it's dropped that 18 inches from my head to my heart. How did that happen? It happened through the authority in the truth of God's word. That is why the word of God is that two-edged sword. And that two-edged sword causes you to make a choice. And that is why we pray and get in prayer and intercession, and we pray one for another so that we can make those right choices. We should pray for each other, that the word of God, the truth of God's word, will help my brother, my sister, to make those right choices, to be able to walk on that narrow path, to be able to obey and trust God. Our prayers, praying one for another, that our faith fails not, is what we should be praying. Because spiritually speaking, we're all in the same boat. We're all having to make choices. We're having to act on the truth that we receive. You see, faith cannot act if you are not sure. And that is where the enemy has got in today, in so much of the preaching. This is why there is such little faith, because you can't act your faith if you are not sure. And the only way we're sure is through the Holy Spirit's anointing and teaching, who is truth. He is pure, undefiled, holy truth. There is no blemish, no lie in the truth of God's word ministered by the Holy Spirit. But we are all in a process. We are all a work in process. And this is why so often we can learn from one another, as God reveals through our brothers and sisters. Very often we can find, you know, when we're having fellowship or sharing or talking about the Lord, suddenly there's something they say, praise God, that's what I needed to hear. I can't tell you the times that you have ministered the word of God to me through our times of fellowship as we share and talk, and or I'm waiting on God or inquiring of the Lord on something, and suddenly it comes out of a brother or sister exactly what I needed to hear. But you hear it if you are willing to humble yourselves. Because very often God can speak to us through vessels that we might not particularly like, or we might not have a lot in common with. God has ways in which he speaks the truth to us, and that is why the humble will hear. And that is why I am such a believer that the gospel must draw men and women to make a choice, a decision. Because the Holy Spirit never forces. He presents the truth, but we have a choice in which to decide to embrace it or reject it. And that is why Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." You know when the shepherd speaks. You know when the word of God is being preached, because it's ministering life. But there's also something else that's so often attached with the word of God. In the natural, in the flesh, it's impossible to keep. You can't do it. See, the word of God is never, ever going to minister to man's pride, to religious pride. He will never do that. You will always find that there is a challenge within that which you hear. And so as we embrace, as we take it on, and we receive God's word, then he gives us the grace, the power in which to live it. Because it can't be lived, naturally speaking. And so our message must always cause people to decide. You see, the moment we receive the truth and we act, the Holy Spirit, he takes over. Because actions give him permission. The moment you receive, you embrace, you receive the truth of God's word, yes, Father, amen, I believe it, I receive it. It is what your word says. Then you are giving the Holy Spirit permission to take over in your life. And that is what he does. He is never going to push himself, force himself upon you. You have to give him permission. You have to ask him, and then he will take over, and then the actions start to take place. The actions meaning decisions. That stepping out of the boat, just like Peter did when Jesus said, "Come." You see, when we experience God and his strength and power, then that helps us to start to act. It actually influences my will. When we allow God permission to take over, what that's doing is that is influencing your will, so that you will to do God's will. Don't ask me how he does it, but he does it. And that is why I often keep saying that we should be experiencing these miraculous miracles working in our life. So that when this truth comes, you act upon it. And the acting is by taking it, praying about it, hearing the word, getting the word in your heart, and so on. Just like what we're doing today. So that we can make those right choices. So that we can agree and obey the truth that's being revealed to us. You know, it's interesting, but the Holy Spirit, doesn't he? He brings things back to our remembrance. He often brings us back in areas of teaching over and over and over and over again. Why? Because he's getting us to make a decision. He isn't going to force himself on us. Now, we praise God for the word, and we thank the Lord for the word, and hopefully you pray for our teachings, that this word goes forth and has recourse. All of that is important. As I've said before, and I'll say it again, I can only go as forward as you are prepared to get behind the prayer for this word. We're all in this together. I am very dependent on you to pray for this word, that doors will be opened, that this word has free course, that we receive greater revelation of God's word and understanding. They are the prayers of the saints. But God will bring us back over and over again on principles of the deeper life. We can say to ourselves, well, I think I've heard this. I must have heard this 150 times. Well, the question is then, why is it taking 150 times? That is the question. And the question is because the Holy Spirit knows we've not given him permission yet. We're still giving him lip service. But you see, the word of God gets a hold of us. It starts to change us and mold us. It's that truth. And we know we can't deny it. We know we can't brush it under the carpet. We know if I shelve this or I go into denial, and we're good at doing that, it's going to come up again. And God showed me that years ago. And do you know how he showed me that? He revealed to it just like the children of Israel went round Jericho's wall before they took it. They had to march round and round and round and round and round until eventually they were at that place that they were able, in obedience, to take that city. And that is exactly spiritually what God does with us. It's like, praise God, I've been round this before, and I'm walking round this again. And we know that they were not allowed to speak. They were not allowed to say anything. What does that speak? In other words, it's saying, you're going to walk round and round and round and round this city wall until you stop asking why. Until you stop falling out with me. Until you stop disagreeing with me. And when you finally walk round and you have zipped lip and you are now ready to hear, then you can plummet the city. You can take the stronghold. You can take the strong man. Be still and know that I am God. That is how God does it. How does he do this? By the truth of the word, by the authority in knowing the truth. Israel had to have a revelation, an authority of Almighty God before she could take that city of Jericho. And it is the same with us, brothers and sisters. And that is why we go over this. We labour over the doctrines. We labour over the deeper life, because it's chewing the cud. It's going over it, over it, over it all the time until you know the truth and the truth has set you free. You see? Hallelujah. Why How is this done? It's exactly done what it says in verse 8. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And that's how this is done. You're here today, I am here today in fellowship, coming under the presence of Almighty God so that I can draw closer to God. And in drawing closer to him, I know more of him and experience more of him. I'm knowing the truth. That's why the devil wants to keep you away from meetings like this. He doesn't want us coming together. He wants to keep us busy and bound up with other things. He doesn't want you drawing near to God. He'll let you believe in God, but he'll fight tooth and nail to stop you drawing closer to him. But you see, we are experiencing the truth of this. You see, the sons of God that are being prepared in the womb, Revelation 12, they are the closest to God. And that is why the dragon's there, to try and destroy that man-child, to abort it, because he hates the position the man-child is in. And that is all mercy and grace. And so when the truth comes, you will act upon it. You know what to do. Because the affections, the will, the desire is all there. And that is how you defeat the enemy. That is how you overcome. You overcome temptations by this experience. But the Holy Spirit, in order to do that, brings us back over and over and over again until we know the truth. In other words, it's dropped from the head to the heart. You see, we draw near to him in order not to ignore him or to turn back. We so often can turn back in so many ways. Did you know a wrong attitude is a form of turning back? Holding unforgiveness, unkindness in your heart towards a brother or sister is a form of turning back. It's going in denial. What does it say in Matthew 11, verse 28? You know this well. Matthew 11, verse 28, he says here, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." It is that rest, that peace, that truth that enables us to walk a life of obedience and faith. Can't be done otherwise. It's impossible. Now, this simply reveals to me the patience and the long-suffering of our Heavenly Father over each of us. How long-suffering and patient he is that we get it right, that we make those right choices, that we yield over to him, that we give him permission. You know, we so often use this term in the deeper life, the absence of resistance, which is what it is. All that really means is you've come to a place where you're not fighting him anymore. You've given him permission. That is what it is. And that is dependent on the long suffering and mercy of God. This is why at times I find myself saying, "Lord, forgive me that this takes so long. The patience, the mercy that you have over me." And yet he does. And so when we come to him in humility and a bowed knee, the whole power of God invades you, enabling us to overcome the powers of darkness. That is God overpowering you when you say no to the enemy. That is God taking over when you find yourself in an impossible situation that can't be done. Those experiences in our life is the power of God taking over. It's overpowering us. And that's what the truth does that sets you and I free. And when that power, his power, takes over, he comes with healing in his wings, wholeness in mind, body, and spirit. Because he can only see his Son glorified, seated at the right hand, authority, dominion, power given to him. That is all he ever sees. And that is how he sees you and I when he comes and overpowers us by the Spirit. Your very actions, your very obedience joins you to the will and heart and being of Almighty God. When you obey God, that is a sign you are one with him. One heart, one flesh, one spirit. You are one with him. And nothing can separate that oneness. We can see, can't we, why the enemy tries to keep us out or keep us out of his presence. But you see, brothers and sisters, as I close now, there is authority in knowing the truth. And the truth that you are receiving is your authority. And your authority comes because you're being set free from doubt, confusion, and unbelief. This is why it is important the Holy Spirit teaches you his word. Because this is what sets you free. And Satan tries to keep the Christian church ineffectual. This is why we have the revelation of sonship. Very few in the Christian contemporary church today actually experience sonship. They know it as a doctrine, but they do not know it in truth. And there is the difference. But you do. And that is why God is working with us like he is, and that is why he's expecting what he is from us. Look what he's investing into us. Have any of us deserved this? No. This is why there's a few of us walking like we are. We are certainly experiencing one thing when Jesus said, narrow is the way and few there be that find it. Broad is the way and many go that way. We are certainly experiencing that one. Sometimes you're just on your own, it seems. It seems like they've all forsaken. Just like the Apostle Paul experienced. But you keep going. And why do you keep going? Because your authority lies in knowing the truth. And when you have that truth in your heart, you can stand. You can stand against the powers of darkness. You have authority over the powers of darkness and the enemy, just like Jesus did. This truth gives us authority over all things in this life. And what are all things? Well, I'll leave you to make that list. So well did James say in verse 4 and verse 8. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament, mourn, weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. And verse 7 is the key, isn't it? It's submitting to God so that you can resist the devil and he will flee from you. And that's what he will do. When you submit to God, when you give him permission, the enemy can only buffet for a season, but he has to flee. And all that he has tried to afflict on you and I, all the things that he tries to hold us in guilt or the past, has to go, because he has no part of you. And this only comes as you draw near to God and God draws near to you. Amen. Father, again, you know how to speak the right word, the right message at the right time. You know how to deliver us through the truth that is ministered to us through the Holy Spirit. You are looking for those who will humble themselves in your presence. And Father, in your love and mercy and grace, you never leave us in that state, but you have a way of strengthening us and raising us up in your power, strength and might. May that always be our experience. Father, forgive us that it does take a long time. We are at times slow of learning. Forgive us, Father, that we find ourselves still walking spiritually round that Jericho wall because we haven't learnt yet to zip lip. We're still not quite yet trusting you. We're still questioning. We're still finding it strange, peculiar, doesn't make any sense. But Lord, we believe one day we'll get it right and we'll know, because we won't question you anymore. We will have that simple, childlike faith that you're working with each of us because you love us. And so Lord, I thank you again for the privilege to be able to share with my brothers and sisters. I thank you for each of them, for their love and care and devotion, their loyalty, their faithfulness. They come week after week after week. Father, I take none of these things lightly. And I pray you will ever preserve, bless and keep them, Lord, when they go out and when they come in. I pray, Lord, that you will place a boldness upon them and that their lives will reveal the Lord Jesus Christ, and that through their love, their kindness will open doors in conversation to be able to share the love of Jesus Christ. I pray you will enable them to be able to, through their words, cause those who listen to make a choice and act. Father, I thank you for this. And we can only achieve all of this as the Holy Spirit leads, guides, reveals, and anoints. And so I thank you, Father. Thank you for our meeting today. Bless, preserve, and keep them, Lord, through this week until we assemble again. For this we ask in Jesus' name.
eternal.